Well, good morning. Good morning, yeah. Why don't we pray before we dig into God's word? Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you that you speak to us. You speak to us through your word, and Lord, we pray that as we open it up now, you would give us clearer vision so that we can see Jesus, so that we have our eyes set on him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I must admit, it is great that I can actually do this morning, because it did get to Wednesday and I was sort of and ahhing as to whether I'd be able to sort of prepare anything for this morning. 2 weeks ago, on Monday, I managed to get some metal in my eye and it's been giving me grief for the last 2 weeks. And so, thankfully, I can do it. And so I've had people asking me for I don't know how long now, how's your eye? You know, how's your eye doing? Which is crazy, really, when you think about it, because this morning we're talking about a blind man being healed. And so fancy that, you know. It's almost like God is in control of these kind of things. So we're looking at this healing. And it's an unusual healing, isn't it? I don't know if you noticed that when you read it. It's not the normal way in which Jesus would heal people. Usually when this kind of thing happens, it's done in a moment. Boom, Jesus has healed somebody in an instant. Whereas this one here, he seems to be done over two stages. He goes from being blind to, he goes from kind of seeing to clearly seeing. Not because Jesus didn't get it right the first time, not because he couldn't really work his miracle, you know, his power was failing or anything like that. It was very intentional that it did it in this way, and that's what we're going to see. So hopefully, just have a look down from verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes, he put his hands on him. Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people walking around like trees." I can hear people thinking, Jesus did what? Like, he spat on somebody's eyes. What? Why? What is going on? Why does Jesus need to spit on people? What, you know, and all this. And it's quite hard to say for definite. It could be that this is a reversal of an Old Testament idea. So in Leviticus 15, you've got this idea of if an unclean person spits on you, or you get spit off them, you then have to go through this big sanitizing ritual, like, you know, probably like what we used to these days. You know, we have to wash ourselves, have to wash everything and cleanse ourselves. So the idea could be that this is a reversal of that. So here's Jesus using that which would usually contaminate as a source of blessing, and, you know, to give life instead of harming. So it could be that. If it helps for some people, Don Carson holds that view, I don't know, whatever. Some people say that, it's a symbol of baptism, you know, the washing of and cleansing idea. Some people say that, it's just what they did back then, and it would have been a normal thing for people to use this as a means of healing people. Having said all that, I've got to say, I don't know. I've got to be honest. It's one of those where, for me, you'll probably have to ask him when you see him and see what he says. I'm sure he'll clarify all that business for you. But yeah, it's worth a conversation. It's worth talking about. It's worth discussing. But the point is, Jesus asks him, "Do you see anything? Do you see anything?" And he says, I see people, and they look like trees walking around. So amazingly, his eyes are starting to open. He can kind of see light's getting in, but the lens isn't quite in focus yet. I mean, people shouldn't look like trees. He's fuzzy-eyed. And so, in verse 25, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. There's a picture of Jesus taking this poor, helpless, blind man, taking him by the hand, touching his eyes, healing his eyes, and restoring him to full sight so that he could see everything clearly. He could see Jesus standing in front of him. Well, it's an unusual healing, isn't it? Take it over two stages. And so it leads us with another question. Why is it here, like now, in this the storyline of the gospel? Why is it here? Why has Mark placed this story right here specifically? Mark isn't just randomly chucking stories together. He's purposely putting this story here, deliberately. And Mark's logic is this: the real healing of the blind man physically is a picture of what is happening for the disciples spiritually. Yeah? The healing of the blind man physically is a picture of what's happening for the disciples spiritually. So, up until now in the gospel story, there's really been two groups of people following Jesus, the Pharisees and the disciples. And both of them, up until this point, are blind to who Jesus is. I mean, the Pharisees, they are way off. They are completely set against him. They want to test him. They want to disrupt him. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. So they don't want to listen to him, accept anything that he says, bar a few. And then there's the disciples. Yes, they are following Jesus, and they even like Jesus, but they simply don't get who he is yet. They know he's important. They know he's sent from God, but it hasn't clicked. The penny hasn't dropped. They are still blind to his true identity. So remember last week, the discussion on the boat that they had? Jesus says to them, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, basically the unbelief of the Pharisees. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And the disciples, they're on a different planet. They're like asking, well, is this because we've not got any bread or something? Or is it, what's going on? And so Jesus, aware of their discussion, they're asking them and saying, why are you talking about having no bread? And he says, do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Do you not remember? And he goes on, when I broke the five loaves of the 5,000, how many basketfuls and pieces did you pick up? The 12 replied. 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. And then Jesus said to them, do you still not understand? Do you still not understand? See, Mark, in the first half of his gospel, has been laying down the identity of Jesus, showing us who he is, showing us that he is the Christ. And it gets halfway now, the turning point in the gospel of Mark, and he's really asking, do you still not see? Is it still not clicked? And it's only now, after the healing of the blind man, that the disciples start to see who Jesus really is. Verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say that I am? You know, what's the word on the street? What's people's opinion? Who are people saying that I am? You know, some reply John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Still others say one of the prophets. You know, people think that you might be this important person. That's what people are thinking. And you can picture Jesus as they're walking, just stopping at this point and looking at his disciples. Okay, right, okay. The big question, the most important question. What about you, in verse 29? What about you, he said. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you're the Messiah. You are the Messiah. the Christ. And you get the point. Spiritual eyes have opened. He's starting to see, he's starting to grasp, he's starting to get some sort of understanding of who Jesus is. They're not just accepting the word on the street anymore. They're seeing him for who he is. He's the promised one, the anointed one, the Redeemer King, the Christ, the Messiah. And so at this point, you are tempted to think, right, okay, yes, he's got it. He's seeing clearly. But we have to ask, is he really? Is he actually seeing clearly, Peter here? Because later, Jesus would go on to talk about how he's going to go and suffer many things. He's going to die, he's going to rise. Peter takes Jesus to one side and rebukes Jesus. See, Peter is still somewhat fuzzy-eyed as to who Jesus really is. The light's in, he's getting some understanding, but he's seeing, spiritually speaking, he's seeing men walking around as trees. For him, with all his preconceived ideas about who the Messiah will be, he still can't fathom this idea of Jesus going to die and suffer and die. That's not on his radar. He's not seeing that for the Messiah. He's only kind of seeing. Do you get the point? The idea is that the eyes are starting to open. They are slowly seeing who Jesus really is. Well, why don't we pause here and then come back and see what lessons we can learn from this passage. We're going to stand and sing. By faith, we walk. Thank you.
will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our souls we'll walk till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our souls we'll walk till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
Well, our text, it shows us the need of a cure for our spiritual blindness. So all of us by nature, our spiritual nature is spiritually blind. And we need the touch of Jesus to open our eyes. We need to be cured from our spiritual blindness. We need our eyes opened. And so this morning, there's a simple question. It's the question that people have been asking me for the last 2 weeks. How are your eyes? How are your eyes this morning? Now, not long ago, I had to go through for an eye test, for a HGV license. I had to apply and do all that kind of thing. And my chin has never been on so many different devices. I don't know if you've ever been for an eye test recently, but there's must have been about six different things that I had to, you know, rest my head on. And 1 minute I'm looking at a hot air balloon. Yeah, and then the next minute I'm, you know, getting some bright light flashed in my face, and you know the looking into my eyes and seeing to the back and seeing if there's anything there, and then you know the shining bright lights all around and everything like that, and then next minute I'm on one of those machines where it just sort of changes the lenses constantly, and then I'm looking at all the numbers and letters, and well I think they were letters, anyway. Looking at all the letters, and it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and they're all trying to distinguish if my eyes have any defects, and if I diagnose my eyes and see if I need any prescriptions or anything like that. Thankfully, I didn't. I don't know if I was to go back now after my metal in my eye, I probably would. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Yeah. There's a lot goes into testing our eyes. What about our spiritual eyes? How are we gonna test our spiritual sight this morning? Well, how does Jesus test their spiritual sight? What if Jesus was to ask you the same question he asked Peter, verse 29? What about you? Who do you say that I am? And our answer to that question will determine how fuzzy our eyes are, or whether we can see Jesus or not. There isn't a more important question to answer, or ask yourself, or to have Jesus ask you. This question will affect how you live now, and it will affect your eternity. Who do you say that I am? We can be so fuzzy-eyed, even as Christians, as to who Jesus is, with our preconceived ideas. And so it's important that we constantly are refining our vision with his word and humbly coming before him and seeing him more and more and more clearly. Granted, we'll probably only see him fully, officially, when we do see him physically, which will be exciting. But our eyes are open, and we want to see him more clearly each and every day. So how are you doing with your eye test? How are you seeing Jesus this morning? And for a lot of us, we can praise God that our eyes are open. I said in the morning, service, that we can lose sight of the fact that our eyes are open. We can lose sight of the fact that our eyes are open, and it can just become a common thing. It's an amazing thing. You were blind. You were once blind, spiritually speaking. And now, in Christ, through Christ, your eyes are opened. You've been awakened. As Paul says in Ephesians, that the eyes of your hearts have been opened so that you can see. And that is great news. That's great news. And it's great news worth sharing. It's great news worth giving. We want other people's eyes to see, don't we? So I think here in this passage, I think there's three B's that we can learn from. Three B's that we can take away that are going to help us share Jesus. They're going to help us in our evangelism and our outreach and how we discuss Jesus with people. Three B's: bring, beg, and bear. Verse 22, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man. And so, yes, it's true that each and every single one of us as Christians, we have a role to play in one way or another in bringing people to Jesus. We want to show them. We want to reason with them. We want to discuss, and we want to show them Jesus in the scriptures. We want to explain Jesus. We want to be people that are good at that, don't we? We want to portray him with our words, with our life, and everything. We want to point people to Jesus. But the thing is, we can bring people to Jesus. We can put all the evidence in front of people. We can give people perfectly good reasons as to why they should believe in Jesus, why they can wholeheartedly trust in him, and it can have no effect. It's almost like a discussion I have frequently when it comes to trying to discuss or teach somebody, not meant, you know, somebody, the offside rule in football, yeah? And so it comes to football's on, offside's given, and the question is, why is that offside? And you think, here we go. Right, okay, so he's offside because he's the last man. He got past the ball when he's the last man. And all right, what does that mean? Okay, and then so you think, right, okay, let me describe it. Okay, so look at your plate that you've got in front of you. The sausage, that's the net. And then the two beans, that's one team. Sweet corn's another team. All right, okay, and so your beans, okay, that's your defensive line there. Okay, so that, imagine there's an imaginary line there. Okay, what? And then they're thinking, okay, what's the mashed potato on the side? No, don't forget the mashed potato. Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Forget that. There's an imaginary line where this bean is here. And if this sweet corn here passes this line, well, what team are the sweet corn? Doesn't matter about the sweet corn. Doesn't matter about the team just for now. And then you end up getting frustrated. And then, because what is clear to you isn't so clear to somebody else. And we can end up getting frustrated with people. And so it's the same with the gospel. You know, we can't do that with people because they're blind. What they need is a miracle. Which is why we need to consider the second B. We need to beg Jesus. They bring Jesus and they beg Jesus to touch him. Because without a touch from God, the blind will never be able to see. So in Matthew's account of this, after Simon has confessed that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus says this: blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. We should be begging Jesus in our prayer, Lord, open blind eyes. Here's this person that I love. Here's this person that I care about. Will you save them? Will you open their eyes so that they can see you? The only way blind eyes are going to open is by the tender hand and grace of God. And it means that we can bear with them. We don't need to get frustrated like the offside rule conversation that I have. It means we can bear with them patiently. And that's what we see in this story, isn't it? The disciples have been with Jesus so long, seen so many different things, heard Jesus teach so many things, but it's only now, by the grace of God, that their eyes are opened. I mean, I doubt very much that for us who are Christians here, that we heard the first thing about Jesus and responded, our eyes were opened. I think for most of us, it took maybe years, months, I don't know. It took a lot of thinking through. It took a lot of wrestling. It took a lot of a process before the Lord opened our eyes. Like it did with this man here. There was a process. And so it means we can be patient and humble, and we can love people with our conversations when we're talking and sharing Jesus. We don't feel like we have to win the conversation. We have to beat them with our conversation and convince them right now, you've got to get this now. We can love and we can be patient, we can be calm, and we can trust and depend and beg Jesus. So this morning, how are your eyes? Are you refining your sight as to who Jesus is? Are you fixing your eyes more and more on him? Till the day that we do see him clearly. Can you see him? Are your eyes awakened as to who he is? And so as we go out in the world and we share Jesus with those who we love, those whom we care about, may we beg, and may we bear with them and trusting in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you that he does open blind eyes, and we long to see more and more people have their eyes opened. Lord, help us in this. Equip us in this, and help us be better at pointing people to Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray this in and through Jesus' name. Amen.